Part two of this news episode is brought to you by Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. Everything you need for a party or self-consumption, whether it's liquor, wine, beer, snacks, cigarettes, lotto, everything that you would expect from a Michigan party store, they have and that much more. Also sponsored by North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. Head on over to Northville on North Center Street, just south of Baseline Road, to check them out and also find them in the downtown Northville Drinking District. Also sponsor PCI Brandcraft. Everything you need to throw your logo on, they can take care of you. That's at PCI Brandcraft on Instagram and Facebook. Like us on all of our social medias. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Better on Draft. Find out what we were drinking by following us and friending us on Untappd. That's Bod Podcast. And of course, you can listen to us live Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern at betterondraft.tv, facebook.com/betterondraft, youtube.com/betterondraft, and twitch.tv/bodpodcast. We'll see you soon. And there we go. We are live. We're back. This is the Better on Draft podcast. Let's get the hosts. There we go. Everyone can see us now. I appreciate you all listening, guys. You could join us 7 p.m. Eastern every Friday, except for next week. That's right, 7:23. We're going to be live at 6 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. That's because we have a very, very far West Coast guest. That is Sierra Nevada joining us. Let's go around and see what everyone is drinking. Let's start with Mr. Robert. What you got over there?
Right now, I am sipping on the Colossal Blackberry from Southern Grist. I do have my... what is to apparently be my chugging beer, which I will, I guess, announce after I finish drinking
it. Did you forget you need two chugging beers?
I did, but...
Come on.
I have that one here, too. So
we'll have you chug for the King of the Hill at the end.
Okay, thank you.
You might have to do three, though, so be ready. You need to pour all three into a glass and just chug everything together at once.
I do have my Furling Fest mug from Eastern Market, which probably would fit all three of them, but that is just one of those things where it's like Beer Fest. I need to account for the heel or whatever the hell.
Yeah, I don't. I have my DOS boot downstairs. That's what I was. I don't think I busted it out for the Molson Coors 10th and Blake show because I was drinking Killian's out of it. But Dan, are you still doing your Stoli and soda?
I switched it up. You were talking about it, so I grabbed a milkshake stout.
All right, little milkshake stout from Rochester Mills. Nicholas. There we go.
I'm finishing up my Two Roots New West IPA here.
You're going hard.
Oh, yeah. And then I'm going to switch full time to the inclusion.
From alcohol free to gluten free.
Groundbreaker.
Wendy, what about you?
Well, I just finished up the coconut stout and I moved on to the Oddside Mango Peach Dank Juice. It is one of my favorite dank juices. I'm a big fan of all the different styles that they have. I feel like whenever I see a new flavor, I have to try it just to try it.
So I am from segment one. I was drinking the same thing. Busting open another can because I liked it. The Active Ales from Flying Embers. But I also got some seltzers to wash it down. And this is from the New Belgium series, the Fruit Smash series. I got Berry Blast. And I also have Pink Lemonade. So that's going to be me. You know, I'm kind of happy. I stayed pretty low carb sans the California Common from Earthen Ales, but that was pretty good too. So with that in mind, let's try this again. Rob, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here is Robert with
and actually real quick with
Nope. The beer news is played.
Oh, Jesus. I wasn't ready. All right, hold on.
All right, well, while Rob's drinking that, let's do some sponsors real quick. Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan, and, of course, PCI Brandcraft. That's at PCI Brandcraft on Instagram and Facebook. Go check them out. That means I don't have to do a one-minute pre-record.
All right, so that was with my trip to Kentucky this past Saturday that I made a stop to Listerman Brewing, and I picked up a four-pack of Lemon Pound Cake, which is their American Blonde Ale brewed with lemon and vanilla. It's not quite like, you know, a lemon pound cake that would come out of, you know, my household, but it's
you mean like not, a cake, an actual cake?
Yeah, like an actual cake. You know, when you got those soul food recipes where when grandma tries to teach you, all she can tell you is just like, oh, you just put a handful of this and you put in some of this and there's no measurements, like one of those recipes. So I mean, not bad.
I've got one of those for a cabbage soup that involves a Cool Whip container as a ingredient measurement.
Cool Whip size.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Thankfully, my aunt, after she transcribed it, gave me a rough estimate of what the actual amount is. But yes, that was very fun. Because, of course, as much as, you know, we people always make fun of like the younger generation for maybe not knowing cursive. My grandmother had like the sloppiest cursive handwriting in the world, and I couldn't read that for shit. So there was no way I was going to be able to figure it out. So I needed someone to transcribe it that actually made the recipe before, so they understood what was supposed to be in there. But Rob, when we ended last show, you said that you had an opinion piece. You wanted our opinion.
Yeah, so I was curious about something that because this is very recent, as in within like the last 2 days, that I had my HVAC guy come over and take a look at my furnace because I apparently have an issue with the blower motor that has now gone out and has pretty much left me the choice of either replacing the motor or replacing the furnace. And I have pretty much gone to the area of replacing the furnace. So I get to spend buku bucks on that. But shout out to Andy Morse of SDC Corp, who is going to be helping me out and getting that thing replaced. But I was curious with you guys, with anyone who comes over to the house within the service industry, whether it's working on anything from your internet to your HVAC to your refrigerator to your stove, the working on your roof, anything that is happening with your house. I was curious if you ever attempted or successfully done tipping with beer. We tend to have, at least for myself, I tend to have a bit of a collection. And when my guy Andy was here, I initially was going to offer him some coffee, and definitely shout out to Eric at Reputation Beverage for their awesome cold brew. But he told me he doesn't drink coffee, but he does drink coffee beer. So then I said, all right. And I gave him a bottle of the 2021 No Rules Coffee and a can of the Drafting Table Mean Coffee Bean Stout, which, you know, I don't think
that he's your HVAC guy.
Hey, he did not. He came in and his attempt to keep the blower motor running was to replace the capacitor. And last I checked, I do not have. I'm probably going to be seeing a bill coming for that. But, I mean, he is somewhat of a family friend. He and his wife know my wife, and so that's why he has been very instrumental in making sure that he takes care of our HVAC needs. So I want to give him, you know, something that he can enjoy that, you know, just because I want to. I mean, I like, he's helping me out. I sent him a text and he shows up the next morning. I need to give him something. So, you know, he said, hey, I like coffee beers. I gave him two coffee beers. And I believe Alec of the Detroit Craft Beer Enthusiast Group has said that, you know, beer is just beer. So, yeah, I'm giving up something that is somewhat exclusive. But, hey, beer is just beer. And I don't know how to fix frickin' furnace. I know how to check the voltage on a capacitor, but, you know, I don't have time to replace that shit. I got shit to do. And, you know, it's awesome that he showed up. So that's what I said. I'm just asking. It's like, have you ever tried or rather successfully ever tipped anyone who came over to your house to fix something and tip them with beer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All
for sure.
When I moved into this house in Ipsy, we were getting obviously deliveries and fixing and all this other stuff. And I was downsizing my cellar because at that time I was still hardcore into keto because we were still in the studio and therefore I didn't have to crack open a beer and not share it with people. That's the one thing I miss about being in the studio is that I feel guilt. I can't not finish a beer because that's quitting and I'm not a quitter.
I was going to say the thing that you miss about being in the studio is not talking about keto.
I mean, I still talk about keto all the time. I miss.
You really talked it about a lot in the studios.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I still do. Obviously today with my 2-carb beers and my 1-carb seltzers. No, I was getting rid of a lot of cellar beers that I just were not drinking, as well as Founders beers that I definitely was not drinking. So I was just giving them away to people to, oh, you made a delivery for me. You know, hey, do you like beer? Here's a nice beer for you. Oh, you know, and some of them would be like, you know, I'm not a big fan of craft beer. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. No problem. But a lot of people, I'm like, you know, this is a great beer. If you have a friend that's into craft beer, they'll love you to, you know, have you bring this bottle with them and to try it. You'll be their number one friend for that night. But yeah, I tipped a lot of beers to where my entire cellar became empty. Which I was a-okay with because I just had way too many beers that I just wasn't drinking. And at the end, if you check the first Zoom photos, you would see like on the back, this little island, like movable island that I have behind me, was filled with beers like Prairie Bomb and stuff. And it just slowly got whittled away as I kept tipping and giving people beer. And now that's left is just Drafting Table Malo and a Medio Noche, which will be cracking open sometime by the end of the year.
Yes. Now when you were giving out the beer, was it calculated and just like making sure you were getting rid of beer that may or may have not been on the line of being too old? And it was just to a point where it's like, I'm not going to drink it anyway. And I need to get rid of it.
No, it was all the beers that I gave away was always some type of cellar beer. Something like a Prairie Bomb, a KBS, CBS, oof, a No Rules. Like, I wasn't giving away, like, a bottle of Killian's I had. Or
that would be amazing, though. This fucking, is 3-year-old bottle of Killian's.
A White Claw. No, I literally was giving away, like, really good, really good beers that I just wasn't going to drink. And
Like Coco Shandy?
Yeah, Coco. No, he kept that one.
That's still in the fridge, folks. That's gonna be drank at our Christmas party.
Just dump the thing. Come on.
No, you can't. Drank, it's got to get drank. Happen. There are no quitters. See, that was the problem. Also, being in the studio too, is because I'm not a quitter. I would always drink at the leftover beers that everyone opened. Because for some reason, Nick would open 2 like bombers of beer and then drink like 4 sips from each, and then I'd be like, "What the fuck."
It's so
yeah,
true.
I was a pretty dumb drinker back then in the studio.
Back then, yeah. Now you're just like fuck it.
No, now he,
yeah, because
now
yeah, I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, he's a dumb drinker at home. The only thing that's changed is the studio.
Starting my night with a non-alcoholic and then transitioning to a 16-ounce 5%er. What is this? I don't even know.
I don't know. It's gluten free. That's all.
No, it's 5.7 gluten free. Yeah.
There you go. See,
by the way, it is good.
That's a really good beer too.
It's a good beer. But I guess what I was I guess with my end is that I feel like, you know, whatever I honestly, if Andy shows up and he does the work, he can just go into my beer cellar and just pick. I honestly, for a guy who runs a business that is beginning far more commercial business than residential, and he still takes care of us, I just kind of like, you can have whatever the hell you want. Even if it was, you know, 3 years ago and it was still like a 22.5% Black Tuesday in there, if you want that, bro, you just saved me. You've helped out and you've saved me money to you know, help with the house situation. You can have whatever the hell you want. I'm good.
Well, and let's be honest. If he showed up next day in the last 2 weeks, he put somebody off to come to you.
Yeah. I mean, he showed up like I was getting ready to go to work because it was like, I'll see if I can make sure I can make it up there, make it by tomorrow. And I was getting dressed for work. And then suddenly I got a text saying, are you home? Because I can be there in 20 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here and I'm going to the beer cellar. And you tell me what you want. Shit.
Well, so we're talking about bigger beers, but I've also there are times where a beer can be a good gesture as opposed to just money, because not everyone wants to take money. They might want, you know, something a little different. Like for me, I'm definitely one of those hospitable people where if someone's coming in and working at my place, like we had an HVAC person here doing things that I have no idea what he was doing, but he did them. And I was like, you know, do you want water? You want coffee? You want soda? Like, you know, can I whip you up something to eat real quick while you're on the road? Because I know you're going from site to site. But that's also the courtesy that I was given when I was going from restaurant to restaurant, working or site surveying or, you know, supporting. Like, these are the types of things, like, that's the kind of person that I am. But I also go, and there was a time where I was coming home from Chicago, stopped at Three Floyds and got, like, day of packaged zombie dust. But I wasn't going home. I had to stay in Grand Rapids overnight because I was working in Grand Rapids in the morning. So I hit a handful of breweries on the way back, and I was only having a beer at each place. And I'm like, you have a choice. I can either tip you 20% or this extremely fresh one-day-old zombie dust. And every single waiter or waitress took the zombie dust. And I like they knew they were getting 20% from me or a really good beer that's really fresh that like they you can't get unless you actually go to Indiana. So that, you know, there are times where it's more meaningful. But again, it's definitely a hospitable, the hospitality part in me that always wants to do that kind of thing.
Right.
So as a face painter, I get a lot of, most of the time I will get a tip. Sometimes rather than a tip, and it's usually a lot of different nationalities. If I go to a party that is, I don't even want to pick one because there are so many different places that I go, but they will feed me. If I go someplace to a party and they're eating, they are going to make sure that I am fed before I leave. And they might not tip, but that's their way of tipping and making sure that they take care of the person that's there helping them out. And I appreciate that almost as much, sometimes more, because I went to an Indian party one time and they were like, oh, you can have the pizza over there if you want. And I'm like, but could I have this food? And they were so excited that I wanted to try their food. I was like, I love it. I'm like, I want to try what you're doing, not like introduce me to your culture, not what I normally would have.
Yeah, and it's
free. I can get Little Caesars myself.
It's kind of like the photographer at the wedding,
right?
You know, at the wedding reception, you number keep track of the people of your guests, and then you always have the DJ, and then you always have the photographer. You always take care of those people. Yeah, you might give them a little tip, but you also definitely want to make sure that, you know, they're going to be there 3, 4, 5 hours.
Feed them, yep. People. Feed them.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I think the food thing is a wonderful idea. I think the money is obviously always a good idea, but I think food is always another good way of doing that. Especially in Wendy, with your case being a face painter, being able to go to see people, different cultures and whatnot. That would be very, I would find that to be very, very exciting.
It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. It's
I've tried so many things that I never would have tried before.
Yeah. It would never have crossed your mind, or it probably wouldn't cross anyone's mind. Like, oh yeah, that looks good. It looks spicy as all hell, but I like spicy food. Send it my way.
At the spicy pizza bowl.
I'm about to say I've tried Indian food at a, you know, back when there was buffets. I don't know if there's any buffets anymore, but Indian food
really.
At a buffet. Oh man.
Oh, there's buffets out here. Come on. You guys don't have them anymore?
So they're coming back, because I was in Whole Foods today, as you know, that almost sounds like utterly privileged, but I was in Whole Foods today. But they did have a buffet. The buffet was back, and they didn't have the creme brulee French toast. But you know, they had buffets.
that oh, one right. thing, the one the thing that Rob was looking for. French they didn't have it, but they had everything else. So.
Oh no, I wasn't in there for that, but I was very curious to see if it was back there.
I think they were allowed to have the buffet yet.
I think eventually they will come back.
Arbor Farms has their salad bar back up.
That's all that matters to Ken, apparently.
Salad bar. That's how I went and got the well-being beer, is I had to go to the Arbor Farms to get it.
So that they are back. But I did want to bring up another thing, which I believe our editor had thrown this in our chat earlier this week. But it was, I don't even know where to really go with this. But basically, a Wyoming rancher was pinned by his ATV and essentially for 2 days survived on beer and bottled water. Basically, he was trying to round up a cow and a calf in a neighbor's pasture. I'm guessing he basically was, his ATV tipped over and he was trapped under it. So while he just kind of sat there and was waiting for help to arrive at some point, that's essentially what he did, was just survived on beer and water, which I guess I can understand that something like that would be possible, considering, you know, we see, you know, several individuals in the past 3 years that have been doing nothing but drinking beer for Lent. For 40 days and suddenly losing 50 to 70 pounds, but I think it's pretty cool that he was able to just kind of wait that out and be able to survive on that. So I was kind of curious, just kind of go around the group, if you know, water notwithstanding, what beer do you hope that you have that you get to survive on for 2 days?
How much beer did he have with him to last for 2 days?
That's what I want to know. And why did he have enough beer to survive on for 2 days?
Did he have a dirty 30
while he was at work?
I mean, he the looks of it said he was drinking Keystone Light.
Oh, gee, there you go. There you go.
So basically water.
Not the 30 rack on the back of the ATV. Probably 15 of them were gone already.
It said he was able to ration a couple of bottles of water and Keystone Light beers from a cooler.
Yep.
So he's working with Keystone Light in the cooler. Okay.
I think we know why the ATV tipped over. I don't think he drank the beers while he was laying under the ATV. I think that's just his excuse as to why the beers were empty.
That was the cause and the cause for the effects.
Can we get this guy on the show? We know his name. Like, can we reach out?
I'm sure we could.
53-year-old Frank Reynolds.
My thing is, he was there for 2 days and he went through enough beer and water to survive. Where did he go to the bathroom?
Oh, I'm sure he just went out, for sure. Come on.
He didn't go anywhere but where he was.
He's got more things to worry about than, you know.
Right. I mean, if I am worried about survival, I am not caring about the fact that I am taking my underwear up an extra 15 degrees.
No, he had 30 Keystone Lights to drink. He didn't give a shit what he had to do otherwise.
Give a shit.
I to be honest, I would hope to have something about something high calorie. So whether it's something high octane or high ABV, just the calories, that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, because at least you could get that drunk strength if it was like 10% beer to push the ATV off you. They're not that heavy. So I don't know what was actually happening here, but that would at least help.
If he had a quad, like a quad beer, he could have lasted like 4 days, maybe. Could have added a couple extra days on there, I guess.
That's yeah. Wendy, what are you talking about? Your answer is supposed to be Final Absolution from Dragon Meat.
I wanted to switch it up a little bit, man. And the quads, those are nutritious.
So Grand Cru or Armageddon?
Oof. That this is a whole lot of Wrecking Crew right there. I would need something, as much as I would want something that is going to be like 10, 12, 15%. I think if I'm going to be stuck for 2 days, that I need something that's going to be in like that 5 to 7% range. I hate to give Matt Bush any props whatsoever, but give me good pills. Give me a Kolsch, and I'll just,
Nah, I'd rather get a little tipsy and have to take a nap than you don't have to worry about whether you're stuck or not.
But I mean, like what Dan said is like if you drink enough that all of a sudden you just like get this stupid drunk strength and lift the damn ATP off of you.
I don't know if I'd want to fall asleep though. I'd be scared to.
And that's the thing. I don't know what if I want to fall. It's Wyoming. I don't know what the fuck is
it's
out why. There.
It's not it's because you're crushed by an ATV. It's the fact that you don't want to fall asleep in Wyoming. Hold on. We all know why Rob doesn't want to fall asleep in Wyoming.
You damn right. Because I've never been there, just probably as much as anybody else who's been out there has never seen New York and has their stereotypical thoughts. I think Wyoming is just, 24/7, 365 up north. It's just nothing but trees and fucking coyotes and ranchers. I don't want that shit.
If a coyote was coming after me, I'd rather be asleep and not know it was coming. If I'm stuck there and can't get away.
I would just give the coyote. No, you give the coyote like something from Acme, and then it fucks up somewhere else.
I don't want to wake up to that shit. Just all of a sudden, just like just have five coyotes just surrounding me while I'm stuck under an ATV.
Yeah, but what's going to happen? Scared of coyotes. You're going to find like the one random cryptozoology animal and like a chupacabra or some shit. Nobody's going to believe you because you're drunk off of fucking Black Tuesdays while in immense pain.
If I'm surrounded by that many coyotes, that's probably the point where I will get pissed off at the breweries because they keep putting everything in cans and I can't break a bottle and just take myself out.
Oh my God.
Versus taking the coyotes out? That's really, what? Come on.
That's a lot of coyotes, though.
They're small. When you're stuck under really an small. ATV.
I mean, broken glass bottles are reusable.
I saw something on, I want to say the Animal Planet or some show that we were watching the other day that said coyotes actually can run faster than the roadrunners can.
They'll actually shout out to Sean in the chat. But like thanks to him and our friend Dale. If I hear glass breaking, I'm probably going to think Steve Austin. And I'm going to just think I'm the shit and I'm just going to take him on.
After you lift the ATV off you.
Yeah. And I'm stunning all of them.
Because we're not having a picnic here. We're stuck.
You're stuck. This dude was stuck. I mean, for 2 days and nothing bothered him. It's just weird. Like I said, I don't know what the hell is in Wyoming. So
nothing.
Apparently they haven't had the rain we have because the mosquitoes would have killed us.
Probably.
All right, let's get another news article in here.
All right, let's see what else we got going on. So there was some good news that is coming out of Connecticut as Governor Ned Lamont has announced that a newly enacted state budget he signed into law last month is going to reduce taxes on beer by 16.7%. Now, while that's, I kind of feel like that's all well and good. The problem is, I guess for me, is that this doesn't take effect until July 1st of 2023, which I kind of feel like for breweries that have gone through a pandemic and have had trouble making sales, I would imagine, I don't know what the numbers are as far as breweries in Connecticut, but it's a small state. It can't have that many that I feel like they kind of need help now. But the changes that they're making that is going to take place in 2023 that, you know, for a barrel that the current tax rate is $7.20, that is going to change to $6. Half barrel from $3.60 to $3. Quarter barrel from $1.80 to $1.50. And a wine gallon from 24 cents to 20 cents, which that almost, I guess I would have to really look at how much is in a wine gallon, because just looking at that in context, it almost feels like it's unfair that wine is so less taxed. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, they're definitely making some reforms or trying to make some reforms. Like I said, I'll be a kind of feeling taking on a little bit later than, you know, one would hope, or I think what at least breweries would hope, with all of these, with not only Connecticut, but we have quite a few breweries that, you know, going across the country that are needing help to be able to continue to survive. And I think I'm just kind of hoping that this monetary break that is going to be happening is going to continue throughout the craft beer industry, in that these breweries are going to get the help that they need to continue to survive. Because, you know, while, you know, you had, Ken, you had brought up last year with the fact that we were supposed to have so many breweries that were supposed to close last year that didn't, that we're still not out of it. And we're in a year where, you know, sales are kind of stagnant, and we don't know where all these breweries are going to go and where they're going to, if they're going to stay in business in this year and next year. I don't know. We don't know where it's going to go.
All right. So let's put in the fact that I'm putting in the mean of where our numbers are for craft breweries in the state of Michigan, which is 200 barrels. That's about the middle of the road for breweries. Obviously, there are extremely high end Founders and Bell's in New Holland, and then extremely low end like your Bee Nectar or Valhalla in Kalamazoo or Blackfire, like. So 200 barrels. So 200 barrels. I actually did 230, which is North Center Brewing's number. That would save them $276 for the year.
That is not a lot. That's not even a canning run.
Nope.
So it's going to save Bell's $550,000. But it's not going to be that much for these breweries that, even though it's not going to even take into effect for 2 years, this isn't going to be the make or break of a brewery. I don't foresee a brewery saying, wow, now that I have that extra $250, I'm going to be A-okay.
So basically mid to high tier, you're all right and you're taking it. But if you're a brewery that's basically putting out, I don't know, we'll say less than, what, 7,000 barrels a year, that it's like, you might as well just give me a coupon.
I mean, there, yeah, tax break or anything, like there are plenty of things. I'm trying to get in while you guys are chatting. Because I can pull up Connecticut's numbers here in about 3 minutes. If that, so keep talking, Dan, what do you think?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's a waste of time, especially if most of the breweries, I don't know who's out of Connecticut brewery wise. It feels like a waste of time, or kind of like a slap in the face, unless you're producing a massive amount of beer. I mean, what's it really going to do for you? And in 20, you said 2023.
Yeah. And it's actually two Rhodes is out there. So there, two Rhodes does have a production facility, or at least, you know, what they have is a brewing company that's
all
out there.
Right. Well, I got everything. So Two Roads is at 52,612. That's the production for 2020. Therefore, at $1.20, they're going to save $63,000. The mean is about, it's actually a little bit higher than Michigan. They don't have too many low production facilities. Let me get in here, and because we have,
I mean, I'm looking at just the map, but just seeing the breweries that are out there, and other than Two Roads, I might know Hog River, but the other breweries that are on here, I am not familiar with.
Their mean is 350, so it's gonna be oh my gosh, why can't I type? 420. That's how much the mean for dollars. Athletic Brewing does have a production facility in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
But I think they're maxed out though, and they're at 37.5. But I don't know if that's going to be for NA beers too.
Right.
Or if that's just for regular alcoholic beers. Because in Michigan, NA beers is still classified as beer, but in Connecticut, I doubt it.
Yeah, the article just simply says beer. It doesn't say anything about whether or not it's an NA beer.
I actually found the governor of Connecticut's press release on this. And it's interesting how they are spinning this. There are currently more than 120 operational breweries in Connecticut, with many more in planning. And apparently the economic output that comes out of Connecticut, it yields around $2.9 billion. Now that's just not in the breweries itself. It's going from the people that actually make it all the way to the people that make all of the ingredients.
Right. So right. So it's something like
it's the whole process.
Right.
But it's interesting to see how they are kind of releasing this as a good, you know, for those businesses.
I mean, it is a good. It's a small good, but
they anticipate $2 million revenue loss from the tax decrease. That's coming from the governor's office.
But that's $2 million that doesn't come off the books potentially until the middle of 2023. And that's, you know, starting it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a little speculatory that, you know, $2 million comes off the books, provided that the breweries that are still active today are still active at 2023 and are at production levels that are going to be high enough to support said loss from the government losing that $2 million.
So I got to interrupt you because I found out the number of barrels for the state of Connecticut in 2020, and it's 230,000. So 230,000... get my handy dandy calculator out. They're doing $276,000 in savings. So I honestly don't know where this $2 million number is from, because it's about 10% of what it is based on production in 2020. I can go pull 2019's numbers to get a better idea of what happened in 2019, because obviously 2020 was you know, the year of shit. but I really don't foresee me getting higher than that number and it being such a different number that I'm going to, like, Colorado, Connecticut's beer production did not go down 90% in a year.
No, I agree. That's a collapse of an industry.
And I think I found the act, whether or not this is something where it's just basically a 10-year ride and they're coming up with the number estimating in 10 years. That's what they would lose.
Wow. Well, that makes
sense. Because when you bring out that 200 plus thousand and they're saying 200 million, that's going to be lost. I mean, that's 10 years.
Yeah, Connecticut actually increased by about 20K in production last year. And that's actually, they lost 10K because that doesn't include the 30,000 barrel increase by Athletic Brewing in 2020. Mm-hmm.
And I guess you also have to factor in whether or not there are any breweries that get lost during this period of time where this 2 million is lost, as opposed to any breweries that are gay. So, I mean, we don't know the future. We don't know what's going to come out, what's going to go away. So, it's just an interesting estimation.
That's a good call, though, on figuring out as a 10-year number. Yeah. I guess that makes sense when I was factoring in. It was 90% less. You know, we're going to cut that. It is 8:40. We had two decent episodes of news here for the Better on Draft podcast. If you're listening to this, you can join us live 7 p.m. Eastern Fridays, except for next week. We'll be live at 6 p.m. with Sierra Nevada. BetterOnDraft.tv or Facebook.com/BetterOnDraft, YouTube.com/BetterOnDraft, or Twitch.tv/BodPodcast. That's going to do it for the Better on Draft podcast. Stay tuned. If you're listening now, you can actually head over to our IGTV if you're listening via podcast and watch it. But we're going to do some beer IQ now that we have more than two other people here. I don't have to.
Hey.
Oh, I don't have to own you all in pop culture.
Ooh, time for Rob to chug another beer, too.
Oh, yeah, Rob's got to chug another beer, but that's going to do it. Better on Draft, no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.